The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. It is finally here. It is week one of the college football season. Huge games. Utah, Florida, Oregon, Georgia, Arizona State opening up on Thursday night against NAU, U of A over in San Diego against the Aztecs at their new stadium. We will chop it up with John Wilner coming up at about 10:20. Also on today's show, because this is a newsy week, tomorrow we will find out what will happen to Hamilton High School. That has been the buzz around the valley on the high school space. And as football fans in general, when they talk about what's going on locally, the Hamilton football team, will they be given the, I guess, death penalty, so to speak, by not being allowed to be in the postseason? Tomorrow the appeal will be heard and announced. That will be tomorrow. So today we'll have Zach Albira from the Tribune and Eric Sorensen from here at Sports 360, the Audibles guys, come on board to chop that up. Also look ahead to the opening week. We have a lot of out-of-state teams, power games across the country. We've got a team from New Jersey flying out here to play Saguaro. Chandler's going out to Cathedral Catholic, so we're going to get into all that stuff with the Audibles crew. That's straight ahead on today's show. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. As always, we appreciate their ongoing support. We have been working feverishly behind the scenes. New TV show coming out this week, Brad Sessmatt Football AZ on Valley Sports Arizona. It airs Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays. Claudia Collins working on a very popular recruiting roundup segment. Bruce Cooper is going to be back with us for another year of Coop's Chronicles. We'll have a preview of that. Wilner, some of Wilner's content you're going to see here will be on the TV show, and much, much more. We only have one more week to get through until we get to the NFL season, which is fine. So this week is college and high school, which is what we love. Today is also a big day for the Diamondbacks. I will get into that momentarily. Mickey Mantle's card that sold for $12.6 million. You guys, do you ever just like look at your collectibles and say, I probably should be looking into selling this. I could maybe pay a mortgage or two. A Mickey Mantle card worth $12.6 million. So back in the day, my mom went on a couple dates with Pete Rozelle, then commissioner of the NFL. And Pete Rozelle took my brother to Super Bowl VII, Dolphins, Washington, in the Coliseum. If you remember your NFL history, you know, or maybe not, that the Miami Dolphins had the perfecto season. They went 17-0. After the game was over, the commissioner took my brother down to the Dolphin locker room, and he got a football autographed by every last one of those players. Of course, we went out and played in the backyard with it because we were dopes. We didn't know any better. But my brother still has that autographed football out in California. And I, you know, unfortunately, in the world of collectibles, when people pass away, the value just goes up. So he's got this autographed football from the Dolphins. It is one of those white ones that each player signed it. And we played catch with it. I don't know what it's worth now, but he has it. I'm sure there's a collector out there that would love to get their hands on it. That caught my eye over the weekend. It was fun. I watched a lot of Diamondbacks, watched a lot of college football. Like, Scott Frost is going to get fired, right? If you're a Nebraska Cornhusker fan, I'm sitting here in my office, like, I am into college football. It's finally here. I'm going to watch Nebraska Northwestern. I didn't watch them start to finish. It's a great weekend. I was out golfing. We got caught in a hail and rainstorm on the sixth hole at Lone Tree and just got buried. It was great. But I watched a lot of football up to that point. Saw our buddy Charlie Ragle, Idaho State, getting run over by UNLV as his first head coaching debut. Congratulations to Charlie. Watched quite a bit of that, but the Nebraska game. And Brock Huard, I think his jaw is still on the floor in Ireland when Nebraska scores a touchdown, takes the lead, and they go for the onside kick. And from that point on, Northwestern said, no, you can't do that. This week, with Oregon meeting Georgia, and Utah playing on Saturday at Florida, and U of A playing San Diego State midday Like, I'm not sure, and I've got Notre Dame, Ohio State going as well. Like, how do you get through Saturday? Saturday is like washed out. It's supposed to be really hot this week. No monsoons or nothing. So I'm thinking I'm going to be too well to be out in the heat. Maybe it's like a 5:30 a.m. tea time, and then come back and just lay out and be Jabba the Hutt, and watch football and just gorge. So very much looking forward to that. The Cardinals are going to make roster cuts, roster moves. They get started a week from this Sunday against Kansas City. The Diamondbacks are recalling their top prospect, Corbin Carroll. Very excited about this. Corbin Carroll should have been here, in my opinion, about 6 weeks ago, but they leave him down on the farm. The Diamondbacks have a nice road trip. They sweep out the White Sox. It's a team that is trying to get into the postseason. They're 8 games under .500. Are they making a push for their manager? Corbin Carroll is going to be in the starting lineup tonight, I would imagine. If you're going to bring him up here, play him. And very much looking forward to watching him do that. Beyond that, it's just time to chop it up with John Wilner, and we will do that next. Wilner Hotline, go into a deep dive on the college football season, finally here. And then Eric Sorensen and Zach Alvira, AZ Audibles, on the Hamilton ruling tomorrow. What are they expecting? And some of the stuff on our high school platform as well. All of our content, you can check it out over at sports360az.com. If you found us here today, we do this show 3 times a week. We run our TV show here over the weekends. It's a great little spot. We have our little slice of heaven coming into year number 12 of doing this. Brad, why would you ever leave local TV? Because I couldn't do this. Brad, why don't you go back on the radio? Because they won't let me do this. So I just do this. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He's the Iron Man. It's always good to have Jared Nielsen with us. And we're back with John Wilner next. All right, as promised, John Wilner joins us. Wilner Hotline. You can find all of his content, Wilner Hotline, over on Twitter, his social media platforms. He and John Canzano have a terrific podcast they've launched, was I think 3 weeks ago now, and John joins us here for a couple of minutes. I'm going to get into the big games a little bit later in this, but I just want to start with chronological order as you come into this week of Pac-12 play, finally getting underway Thursday night, ASU hosting Northern Arizona. John, what's your big picture here for this conference coming into the season after all the turmoil the last 9 months?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you kind of ignore for a minute the fact that the conference is facing an existential crisis, you know, the football situation for this season, you know, I think that it needs to get a playoff team. And it would be best if that playoff team weren't USC, right? Because the continuing members would kind of reflect better. If Oregon or Utah could get into the playoff, that would reflect better on the Pac-12, what remains of the Pac-12, than if the school that finally breaks through is headed for the Big Ten. So I think the big thing is, can anybody get in the playoff? And certainly for Oregon and Utah, the huge games this weekend are a big step, right? Beyond that, I think the conference needs to show, you know, high level of play and success in the games that aren't, you know, the marquee games, right? The games against the San Diego States, the games against the Boise States. They can't lose those games. You gotta, if you're the Pac-12, you need to be winning most of your matchups against, say, the Mountain West. And that didn't happen last year. So I'm going to be paying a lot of attention to those games, you know, Arizona, San Diego State, for instance, right? Almost as much as Utah, Florida, or Oregon, Georgia.
Okay. So Arizona State, let's just hone in on them. You and I have been very critical over the last year of what's going on there. Thursday night, they play Northern Arizona here. Chris Ball is a former Todd Graham assistant coach. He's done a nice job up in Flagstaff. They beat U of A last year. Could you see Northern Arizona beating ASU on Thursday night?
It's hard, but, you know, those are the kind of upsets that you just don't see. I think I could see it being, you know, a close, fairly close game in the fourth quarter. But to me, ASU still has enough playmakers that, you know, things get tight, and that's the difference in the game. And ASU ends up winning by, you know, 17, 20 points, but it was uncomfortable until early in the fourth quarter. And quite frankly, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for ASU to be uncomfortable for a while, to have Emory Jones forced to make some plays under pressure, that would just get the Sun Devils better prepared for the rest of the season. The, you know, when you get a cakewalk in week one, sometimes it doesn't do a whole lot for you.
Yeah, like UCLA has cakewalk after cakewalk after cakewalk to open the season. And I tend to agree with you. ASU does play at Oklahoma State the following week, but then Eastern Michigan. So two of their first three games are the big cupcake.
They are. I mean, we'll see. Eastern Michigan, you know, that's one of those MAC teams that, you know, you could end up getting a fight. But certainly the trip to Stillwater is going to be the big one. And, you know, every one of these non-conference games counts in terms of getting bowl eligible, right? And if you're ASU this season, you know, to me, getting bowl eligible needs to be the priority, not contending for the conference title. And, you know, there's a big difference between being 3-0 versus 2-1 or 2-1 versus 1-2 in terms of what you have to do in league play to get bowl eligible.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Okay, Emory Jones. So we've not talked about him in this offseason of all these transfer quarterbacks that are coming in and going to different spaces and places. Here's a kid that threw double digits, touchdowns, but did throw double digits and interceptions. Comes from Florida, shows up at Arizona State in May, makes it as the starter without even having spring football. What are your expectations for him? And is he this quarterback in this year's class that's kind of flown under the radar with all the hoopla of Jaden Delord at Tucson or Cameron Ward up to Washington State? You know, where do you go on that?
Well, I think there are, I think, seven transfer quarterbacks who are expected to start in the Pac-12 this season. And he certainly has carried the lowest profile. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. One is that he got to ASU late in the cycle, right? It was in May. It was kind of easy to miss if you aren't paying close attention. Secondly, he didn't have a standout career at Florida. He was a good player up and down. And also just the fact that ASU lost a three-year starter, right? Jaden Daniels. And that was seen as such a huge blow to the program that it's almost like no matter who they brought in, it was going to be, you know, a net loss. But I don't know that that's necessarily going to be the case. I think Jones could end up, you know, playing at a comparable level to what they would have gotten from Daniels. We'll see. He faced SEC defenses, you know, so he's certainly not going to be overwhelmed by what he sees in the Pac-12. But he's got a lot of new pieces around him, including being new himself. So that's, to me, the unknown.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Wilner Hotline, you can find all of his content on the website at sports360az.com as well. John joins us every week breaking down the college football scene around the Pac-12. We've talked ASU, we've talked U of A, so let's focus in on the huge games this Saturday. Start first with Utah, Florida. Really interesting game on many, many levels. John, is this a better Utah team than the one that we saw on bowl game day on New Year's Day?
Oh, boy, that was one, the Rose Bowl, great Rose Bowl, right? I think that Utah certainly is going to be a lot better in this opener than it was last year. It's got everything straightened out in terms of who its quarterback is. You know, Florida is in transition, got a new coach, Billy Napier. This is actually a good spot for Utah. If you're going to go into the SEC and beat one of its higher profile programs, this is about as good a circumstance as you can ask if you're the Utes, including the fact that kickoff is at 7 o'clock Eastern, right? So you don't have to deal with peak humidity in the swamp. I mean, I think certainly Utah will have to, you know, take care not to wear down in the fourth quarter. But, you know, I like Utah's situation here. And to me, this is the biggest game for the Pac-12, bigger even than Oregon, Georgia, because I view Utah as having the best chance to make a playoff run. And if Utah is going to make a playoff run, it's got to win this game, right? Because you can't lose two games and get in the playoff. So if they lose here, they got to be perfect. I like the Utes' chances a lot, and I think that they're going to win this game and be in great position to potentially make the CFP.
Do you like their situation better than what Oregon is going into?
Here's a way better
spot. Yeah, because you have a first-year coach coming in Oregon, quarterback somewhat up in the air, very much up in the air. There's a lot with Oregon meeting Georgia. It doesn't look good on paper, John.
Doesn't. I mean, the point spread reflects that, right? I think the Tucks are like a 17-point underdog, something like that. I mean, it's a huge number. Georgia national champs, right? Tons of blue-chip recruits everywhere, playing basically a home game. And then you've got all the unknowns on Oregon side, new coach, new coordinators. The quarterback is new to Oregon. He's not new to Georgia, right? Georgia will know Bo Nix's tendencies since he played at Auburn. You've got Dan Lanning, the Oregon head coach, who was Georgia's defensive coordinator. So Georgia is going to have a pretty good idea what Oregon's going to try to do defensively, but Oregon's going to have a pretty good idea what Georgia's going to try to do on both sides of the ball. So that, you know, to me, that kind of stuff evens itself out, and it gets down to who's got the players. Georgia's got the players. I think it could be close. Oregon's defense is very good, but they're going to hold up in the fourth quarter. We have seen Oregon and Washington both play Auburn a few years ago, back-to-back seasons. Both times, Auburn made the plays in the fourth quarter. That's, to me, what's going to happen here. Is Oregon capable when the pressure's on and Georgia's locked in? Is Oregon going to be able to hold their own at the line of scrimmage?
Couple huge games for sure. Very much looking forward to that. John, thanks for the time as always.
Thanks a lot, Brett.
And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, AZ Audibles. We're actually going to go a little deeper because we have Zach Alvira with the Tribune and Eric Sorensen, Sports 360, doing deep dives with two guys that know all tell all on occasion. And we want to start first. This is a big week. And Eric, I want to go to you first. What do you think will happen? What do you think should happen? The Hamilton ruling will come down this week. What would you like to see happen? You don't have to have all the ins and outs of this. It's just you've seen this from afar. What would you like the AIA to rule on this? I'll get to you, Zach, in a minute. Eric.
Brett, I'd like for them to stand their ground and set the precedent that they did a couple weeks ago. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I feel bad for David Hines because he's not necessarily the one that's going to be the deciding factor on this. It will be voted on by a committee. But he's the one, Brad, that's going to have to get up and face the music and answer all the questions, regardless of what happens. Again, feel bad for the kids, feel bad for the parents, feel bad for the other coaches in this whole mess. But a rule is a rule. A rule has been broken. We talked about this a few weeks ago on this segment, and I just hope everything plays out and the AIA holds their ground.
Zach?
I feel the opposite. I think the AIA should give the kids a chance to play. I know rules are rules and everything. Now, Hamilton did correct the situation, obviously, with Tim Doherty no longer being the defensive coordinator over there, at least for the time being right now. I think the kids should be able to play in the playoffs. They've worked hard for it. This is a special freshman. I'm sorry, senior class. When they were freshmen, they were undefeated. They deserve the chance to play. The problem is, I don't know what my gut feeling says. Was it too little too late for Hamilton to make this decision? Should it have been made a week ago? Maybe that would have helped a little bit better. I truly don't know. I don't know what my gut, like I said, is saying to me right now. It's kind of one of those like up in the air, like, oh, this could happen. This could happen. Tuesday will be very interesting.
What's the worst that could happen on this, Eric? The worst is it just that David reverses course, or is it that the assistant coach is brought back after three games? Is it they say they're not in the postseason and kids decide I'm not going to play because I'm not playing for a championship? I mean, optically, what's the worst that could happen on this for the public?
You know, Zach mentioned this a few weeks back, Brad. It could be like the death penalty in many ways. I mean, what's the motivation if this stands for these kids to go out and play? Yeah, they get to play their 10-game season. Of course, they get to play Chandler. They beat Chandler last year. It's a talented group of seniors. There's no doubt about it. But if the ruling stands, the trickle-down effect is going to be really interesting to watch, because what's going to be the deciding factor for kids to stay inside the program, especially if the AAA allows them the hardship to transfer and maybe not have to sit out a season or maybe only have to sit out three games? Then you could just see a complete mass exodus.
Zach, do you think that's possible? You think that's something that could happen? I mean, I feel like they ruled late on Doherty. Is this just the three games? Is this window dressing, so to speak? And I think the worst that could happen is that this prolongs throughout the entire season. I think eventually if this drags on, if they bring him back, I think Mike Zadepski is not going to be the head coach at Hamilton next year.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a lot of things changing. I could see the whole entire coaching staff be different next season if that were the case. You know, like Eric said, I think you would see a max exodus of players just because you know, they come to Hamilton, I'm assuming, to play in the playoffs and to try to win championships and play in that program that obviously has been very good for a very long time. And obviously Mike Zadepsky has been part of that, trying to rebuild that program after the last scandal happened back in the, like, in 2017, 2018.
Right.
You know, I think this could be very, very harmful to the program. Now, at the same time, Hamilton is still Hamilton. They will come back at some point if this were to take place. But again, me personally, I'm kind of hoping that isn't the case.
Eric, what are you hearing in Zach too from other programs, other coaches? What are they saying privately to you guys or publicly even about what's going on at Hamilton? Do they feel bad for them, or is it, this is about time, this has been going? What is the feel, Eric, that you're hearing from coaches?
From the coaches I talk to, most are just trying to stay in their lane and worry about their own program. Mm-hmm. I think it's understood. I think we can all agree that some sort of recruiting happens a lot in Arizona, whether it's at these 7-on-7s with kids talking to kids, or players just wanting a better opportunity, whether that be in football or academically, to go to another school and play and explore other options. I don't know if other coaches feel bad for Hamilton, but they definitely feel bad for the kids who had absolutely nothing to do with this.
Zach?
Same thing. A lot of coaches are just kind of focusing on their program. They're staying out of it, especially within CUSD. They are very much staying away from that situation. But all the coaches I've talked to, like Eric just said, have really felt bad for the kids.
Okay, let's transition over to, it's the start of the season. Thankfully, we can get to on-the-field matters. Out-of-state games in general, what's your guys' view of starting the season now? We've got a team from New Jersey coming out here. We've got teams from Arizona going to California the first couple of weeks. Eric, let's just start with you. Big broad brush on out-of-state games.
Love them. No better way to kick off the high school season than putting Arizona's best against not just the West Coast best, as you mentioned, Brad, but Bergen Catholic finished number 3 in Max Preps last year. They went 12-0. They're coming out here. Zach, I think you can relate to this. Last year, Bishop Gorman, Hamilton, that was the best high school football game I've ever seen. It's going to be hard to top that. And that energy outside the stadium, even walking through the parking lot, there was such a buzz. There were people waiting outside an hour before the game to get in. They were watching through the fence because there was no place to put all the fans. ESPN game, it was unbelievable. Not every out-of-state game is going to be like that, but there's a little extra juice for the Arizona kids to show up on the national stage.
I think it's fantastic. Look, Saguaro's a nationally recognized program already. They feel a little disrespected because of the preseason rankings, putting Chandler, the team they obviously beat in the open division, ahead of them. Saguaro's out to make a statement and to prove a point that they are one of the best teams in Arizona. Not that we need to, you know, see that anymore, but nationally, they want to prove that they're at that level at the same or on that stage as well.
I think it's an advantage for Bergen because they've hit other teams in games that counted. I think there are 3 X factors, Brad, that swing in Saguaro's favor. Number one, it's a long ways from New Jersey to Arizona when you're taking a bunch of teenagers on a plane across the country, even though classes have not started. Number two, it's going to be about 108 degrees on Friday in Scottsdale. And number three, this game kicks off at 7:00 Phoenix time. That's 10 p.m. East Coast time. So these kids are going to get up and they're going to hang out and they're going to just be waiting to play football. And in their normal window of playing and practicing, it's not going to happen. Keep an eye on that this Friday.
Zach, you're going to be out on the West Coast. I think really interesting. Chandler opens the Dylan Royola era at quarterback against Cathedral Catholic. Red Mountain is playing as well at the Honor Bowl. Walk us through those 2 games.
Yeah, you know, those 2 games, Friday is Red Mountain at 4:00 playing a Madison team that right now is actually, playing a Modern Day Catholic team. Sorry, there's 3 games out there. I get confused by who's out there, but Modern Day Catholic actually went undefeated last year, won the, I believe it's technically the, what would be equivalent to like the division, I think it's like division 2A, so it's like maybe 4A out here, something like that. Went undefeated last year, was a pretty young team. They actually started out 0-2 this year though. So, you know, obviously that could be beneficial for Red Mountain, but the problem is, like Eric said, you know, they've had 2 games now to kind of work out those kinks, and Red Mountain is coming off fresh of, you know, summer practices. So we'll have to see what happens there. Cathedral Catholic, big win over Modern Day Catholic, actually, in the first week. lost to Corona Centennial, which obviously is a powerhouse program out there. Now they get Chandler and Dylan Raiola, like you just mentioned. Those two games are going to be fantastic. The Chandler one is actually one of the marquee matchups for the weekend. And then Desert Vista plays Madison on Saturday at 4 o'clock.
It's going to be fun having these out-of-state games open up, not just this week, but the following week. I know, Zach, you're going to be up in Las Vegas the following week with Hamilton up against Bishop Gorman. There's some other games as well. Good stuff there, guys. AZ Audibles, follow the crew, and we're back with more after this timeout.